Attention Life Tips listeners, looking for better ways to become better, smarter, faster, and wiser? Well, listening to Life Tips is a great start, but how about if we gave you an easier way to listen? Introducing the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app, now available for iPhone and Android. Listen to Life Tips and even more programs that will help you build to a better health, wealth, and lifestyle. Download the WebmasterRadio.fm mobile app in the iTunes Store or in Google Play today.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Radio Show. Byron White here, everyone. I'm here with Lauren Holden. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's make it happen, Lauren.
Indeed, let's make it happen.
That's the name of your book, Make It Happen in 10 Minutes a Day. So tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write this book. Let's start with that.
It's a terrific story, actually. The evolution of the process of learning how to work with incremental change and make things happen in 10 minutes a day was a discovery I made in my life when my son was young. And I was describing it to a group of people. I'm an artist. I was describing it in a meeting of artists. And I said, you know, I have no time. Maybe I have 10 minutes a day, but I've really learned how to claim it and aim it and make my life work within that time constraint. And the guy who was directing the meeting said, there's a book. And I laughed at the time and sort of thought, oh, that's funny. And 6 months later, I sat up and thought, wait a minute, he's right. So it was actually a moment, a trigger moment that inspired me to write the book, and I wrote the book in 10 minutes a day.
Hmm. Now, I bet it took you more than 10 minutes to write the book, by the way.
Right. It took me a year of 10-minute days to write the book. And also, I should say that one of the points I make in the book that is that if you devote yourself to the idea of only spending 10 minutes, often that will engage your initiative. It becomes the portal through which you can find your sense of initiative. And that often happened. I call it time blooming, where I'd say, okay, I only have 10 minutes. I'll give it 10 minutes. And then in the context of the time, I would find more time. Somehow time expanded. Mm-hmm. And I think it mostly had to do with clarity of focus and intention.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. We're starting to dive in, but maybe you could just tell people, you know, in a few minutes, the fundamental, you know, action item and principle that you're bringing to the table with your concept here.
Well, the concept arose personally out of a necessity in my life, because as anyone who's ever been home with a young child knows, your sense of time changes completely. But the real fundamental shift for me was when I stopped thinking about managing time and I started thinking about managing myself. And then all my power came back. Then I was in a position of being able to choose what I could do with my circumstances rather than trying to somehow grab the circumstances that were swirling around me. And for me, it was, I didn't even have time to think of any sort of complex answer. The answer found me, and I realized that even when I thought I had no time, I did have 10 minutes every day. And it was a pivotal moment for me. It was revolutionary. And then I started to experiment with that fact. Mm-hmm. Simply take 10 minutes, bring total clarity of focus to it. I used a timer, so I knew I could always stop. And in fact, we always had to stop because I only ever had 10 minutes. But that's as simple as it was, which is changing the sense of perception to feeling at the mercy of something outside of myself to simply thinking, I can't manage time. I will manage my own energy.
During these 10 minutes, these precious, sacred 10 minutes, which you're contending can save up to 60 hours a year, or can add 60 hours.
Yeah, 10 minutes a day is 60 hours a year. Incredible.
Right. Okay. So what am I going to accomplish in these 10 minutes? Is there a ritual that I'm going to go through? You know, explain to us why these 10 minutes are so critical.
Well, I would say that every person who decides to give this idea a whirl will come up with an answer to that question. I can't really say. What I know is that it ends up, from people I've heard, from feedback I've gotten about the book, is that the idea ends up being a key to a process. And the process leads to patterns of habit that allows a new sense of productivity that feels light as opposed to weighty, because we're also stuck in this idea that we're so busy, we're waiting for this mythical big period of time to come when we can go after those big things. And what I'm saying is, don't wait. Go after them piece by piece every day, and then you're walking down the road towards what it is you're working to create. Every day you're walking on that road, as opposed to standing at the foot of the road waiting for the big moment where you can do the whole stretch in one moment.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to, for example, necessarily put together my task list for the day, or prioritize my task list, or look over all the things I want to accomplish and allocate in a certain amount of time. You know, those are traditional time management basics, right? Theories.
Right, those are. And there's a lot of information about that and a lot of books about that out there. Didn't even have time, to be honest. I didn't even have time to do that. I simply had to dive in.
Okay. So we bypass that. But I'm still puzzled with what I can accomplish in those 10 minutes. Now, mind you, I'm a productive person. I want every minute of my day to be as productive as possible. But what is your book going to tell me to do for these 10 minutes? Am I going to climb the mountain, think priority? Am I going to, what do you do for your 10 minutes a day?
My first 10 minutes and the 10 minutes that taught me the method, that showed me the method, and I really felt like I was the recipient of the information rather than the innovator of the idea, was I built a garden, and I literally did it one flower at a time. Mm-hmm. Literally one plant at a time, one handful of weeds at a time. And what happened was, by about day 13 of doing this, I realized that it was happening. I was doing it, and I was in the mode of doing it. For you, in terms of your day, the best thing you can do is try it. I always say to people, this idea, this book, is nothing unless you give it a try. It's like a cookbook. The information is meaningless unless it's applied. I would say just give it a go and see what you think.
So some of the philosophy behind this might be, to understand that longevity and pounding away at things can be impactful and meaningful in ways that might surprise you, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So, one of the techniques I've seen in this, in my illustrious long career, is, a concept of changing the way that you have a meeting with people. And A, have the meeting standing up. B, cap the meeting at 15 minutes. C, address only a couple things. One example would be, what did I accomplish last week? What obstacles did I have in accomplishing those things? And what am I going to do differently this coming week, right? All in a 15-minute meeting with an employee where you're the manager trying to help them advance their career. So,
right. And when I hear that, I love it, because I immediately imagine myself as that employee, and I imagine that I would stay engaged for every minute of those 15 minutes rather than spending 45 minutes bored at an hour-long meeting.
Exactly right. Right. And you have it standing up, which forces your energy level, number one, to be a little bit longer, right?
Exactly.
A little bit more engaged. And you cap it like that. In 15 minutes, the sand goes out of the hourglass, and boom, that meeting is over. You walk away.
Right. And walk away energized.
You walk away saying, I got value out of that, and those minutes were precious to me. Right. And I think your 10-minute concept is similar, in that those 10 minutes become a foundation, a building block, right?
They become a trigger.
Yeah. And, I would argue, actually, that many people, I know my wife is one of them, she spends 10 minutes every morning mapping out her day, right? She thinks through in milliseconds what all the tasks are, orders the priority list, and boom, she has mapped it out. She knows exactly what she's doing in every minute of the day. She takes, within those 10 minutes, she sets alarms on her iPhone. Okay.
Wow.
You know, to like, my next meeting is coming up in 5 minutes. I'm done with this meeting I'm in. Goodbye. You know, so
is that
in your mind a valuable, you know, for her, you know, executive lifestyle? Is that a good use if it's a, you know, in your eyes of the 10 minutes, you know, would that qualify as the 10 minute mark each day?
Absolutely. I think it's superb. And I'm willing to bet that she is 100% more productive because of that. I think it's a brilliant use of 10 minutes. It sets up the entire day.
Exactly.
And it sets up your engagement, your sense of focus, your sense of what's coming.
Yeah.
And again, what she's doing there is managing herself as opposed to managing her time. She's managing herself and her life and the day that she perceives will unfold.
She has some tricks. One, she likes to build in, you know, downtime where she schedules doing nothing.
Right. Perfect. But, you know, there's a piece in my book about that 10 minutes doing nothing, 10 minutes stopping to breathe. I mean, any meditator would tell you that 10 minutes stopping to breathe, 10 minutes is as crucial, that inaction at times is as crucial as action. Doing nothing is doing something because it's restoring you.
This, you're going to find this fascinating as well. And you know, let's take a little bit of a break here and we'll come back. But I have something related to a wonderful book called Bit Literacy, which is a great book. I'm not sure if you read it, but it's we're going to have a great discussion about it. It's all about creative. It's all about psychology and time management, which we'll dive into in a minute. Back in just a minute, everybody.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those rankings is super simple. All you need is AuthorityLabs.com. Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking, you should be using Authority Labs. Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords, what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world, Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sort with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers and join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let me.
Warning! Listening to WebmasterRadio.fm daily may cause webmaster insomnia and an increase in your company's profits. WebmasterRadio.fm.
Stay up with us all night long.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Lauren. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
So I wanted to chat with you about this concept and see where it fits with your concept of making it happen in 10 minutes a day. So there's a wonderful book called Bit Literacy that was modeled around the concept that we're all completely inundated and overwhelmed, particularly in this new digital age with emails coming at us and, you know, documents and tasks and conflicting schedules and e-calendars and all this fun stuff. And as a result of that, what's happening is our physical task lists are becoming overwhelming. They're 2 or 3, 4 pages long, right?
Right.
And it just feels overwhelming, right?
Right.
So a rather brilliant individual wrote this book, you know, diving into this deep understanding of this problem, and said, you know what? This is how you should tackle this problem. Take all your tasks and put them in a board that says future tasks, where you're not going to worry about those future tasks because they're not helping you with your daily activities. Grab some of those tasks and add it to a simple list of things you're going to get done in the particular day, and leave some room for yourself, you know, some flex time to manage other tasks. But the basic rules were, if you can do the task in 1 minute or less, then get it done and get it off your list, because otherwise it just clogs the spokes. Right,
right.
But if you can't get it done and it requires, you know, 15 minutes, an hour, or if it's a project, you got to put it on your, quote, future tasks, okay?
Right.
Your goal every day within a 10-minute, architecture is, you know, within 10 or 15 minutes, set your task in the order that you're going to complete them in the time slots that are allocated, and therefore leave the day energized and positive, right, about you did everything that you were supposed to do today.
Right.
You don't have to worry about your future tasks. What's your thought on that methodology, and particularly from a psychological perspective?
Well, I love it because what it does essentially, in my understanding, is that it liberates you. And the thing that I experience most in looking around at our world and looking around at my life is that the burdens or the responsibilities you described, the task lists that are 4 pages long, what they do is they freeze people, and then people get nothing done. Because the weight of what they think they need to do is too much. It's too heavy. Yep. So what you describe is beautiful, because what you describe is the person who wrote this book is saying, okay, take all that weight off. Just take it off. Put it somewhere else. Put it on a board. Let's take a handful of those ideas or whatever it is that are actually doable in a small amount of time and get to it, which again brings back this idea of lightness every day. Lightness in endeavor every day, and perhaps small amount of time, lightness in endeavor every day. And then you'd be amazed what you can get done in small amounts of time when you feel free and happy about doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've taken this very concept of task lists and actually developed and created this online task list, which we use in our office here.
Interesting.
Yes, and I've been threatening, and it's been on the burner for a long time, to make this software product available for anybody on Life Tips. And we have about 1.1 million unique visitors on Life Tips. So
wonderful.
We'd be excited on it. And I'd like to bring you back in the loop on that, Lauren, and to take a look at it. We'll try to get a beta version of the software running after the first of the year. But I think your methodology of take 10 minutes a day, map out your plan and your strategy, you know, don't worry about all the future dates. I think we could have some fun with this together. So I'd like you to invite that into a conversation with me about that, to poke at this. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. It's very interesting. And again, you know, what we're talking about is possibility. How can we create possibility for people who feel stuck in their circumstances and stuck in overwhelm? And it sounds really like you're doing it, too.
Yes. Well, it's important that we all figure this out.
Absolutely. Increasingly so, given that our world is getting more digital and full of more distractions. That's the big thing, is that the constant distractions. I have a friend who's a young filmmaker in New York City, and when he was reading my book, he said, you know, my biggest problem is the constancy of distraction. It's like there's no such thing as focus time anymore. So it's more crucial than ever to be finding answers.
Well, there's just so much happening. What do you think, is the biggest challenge with people managing their lifestyles these days? And by the way, is your book targeted to everyone across the board, whether it be stay-at-home moms or you know, business executives or you know, sports celebrities. I mean, who knows?
You know, it's interesting. I personally think it's valuable for busy people anywhere. I really do. And mostly because if you talk to any person, they've probably got a lingering dream or a lingering overwhelming task that they're resisting doing or have put off doing because they don't think they have the time. They've spent their life wanting to learn Italian, and they don't do it because they don't think they have the time. And in fact, you can be learning Italian in 10 minutes a day. And so I think that essential concept is valuable for any busy person.
Well, you know, that's quite interesting as well, the whole learning aspect and the allocation. I mean, is it possible, for example, that you might have multiple 10-minute projects going on in the course of the day where you're learning Italian and planting your garden and, you know, bettering your life by reading?
Yes, absolutely. I actually talk about that. There's a little section in my book called 10 times 3, and I describe a period in my life where there were three things I wanted to be doing. And, you know, again, it's knowing yourself, knowing your tendencies, and managing the flow of those desires and wishes and what you want to do, but not abandoning them and perhaps in any given day prioritizing them. You know, is there one that's at the top of the list pretty constantly on days when you only have one 10-minute section? But again, it's a matter of knowing yourself, knowing what you want, and aiming that time with a very clear and focused intention. And it's revolutionary what you can get done. It really is. It's, you know, time is very elastic. And everything you described earlier in the show about a 15-minute meeting and the efficiency and mobilization that happens in a meeting that short, and then the knock-on effect of what happens in everybody's day of being that mobilized by that small amount of time is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about habits. You clearly studied that with the development of your book here. You know, how long does it take people to change habit, and how hard is it to really stick to developing new habits and fortifying those with good patterns?
You know, that's a great question. And I actually did a little bit of research just around science research, and I heard very different answers. It takes 4 days. It takes 21 days. It takes 30 days. And there were actually such a variety of answers that I can't answer that myself. I will tell you that what I believe is that if someone's listening to this show and they're thinking, well, there's an idea, 10 minutes a day, I would ask them to adopt it for 7 days. For something that they're going after, and take note of where they are in 7 days. I personally think in 7 days, A, a lot will get done, and B, a pattern of habit will have been developed at that point that your whole system is used to. And because the pattern of habit is linked to a new sense of productivity and then linked to satisfaction and to joy, hopefully the pattern of habit would then regenerate itself.
There's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of software as a service models related to time productivity. One that the listeners could dive into is this really interesting model. I don't know a lot about them, but I love what their CTO and their CFO are broadcasting out with regard to management. It's called results.com. And the theory behind it is, you know, you may not have a chief operating officer of your company. And, you know, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't stay tuned into the productivity of your staff members and how your business is advancing along. So they've tried to create this very intense software package that, you know, sort of manages the workflow and more than just sharing documents and, you know, simple task lists, but looking at the value of different tasks and the productivity level of employees and hitting goals and benchmarks and tracking those in creative ways and in visual ways that make this all work. You know, it sounds super complicated to me. I like your approach of the super simple approach, make it happen. Right. Right? But what's your thought on that? You know, do you think that, you know, is restricting and confining, or is it maybe what the mind needs to maximize performance?
You know, it's funny, I don't know how to answer that because we are all such individuals. And I can see how in a corporate environment where a lot of people are hopefully working together towards the productivity and efficiency of a system, how something like that could be valuable. I'm an artist and a writer, and so my own experience was simply to follow this one clear, simple intention. It was almost like a bullet that shot through the truth of my life, and I just followed it. But I certainly think there are valuable ideas. What you described sounds very valuable, and I don't work in an office, so I don't know, but I can see how it could work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the way, I have artistic backgrounds and mother, there was an artist, father, professor of philosophy. So you and I would have a wonderful cocktail hour together, even if it was just the two of us. But one question is something that is an important concept here is not only feeling good and feeling productive, but having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and smiling and being positive and sharing the sense of reward.
Yes.
What's your take on that? How important is it to have fun and to make that part of a habit that you have every day?
See, I think that, so thank you for bringing it up, because I think it's crucial. It's essential. And, I think as beings, we go towards joy. It is our nature to go towards joy, to go towards what is working. And I've actually had this idea, and this is just something I've been bandying around in my head, of what if you went into a corporate environment where, people lead this very focused, sort of cubicle type of life, and introduce the idea of 10 minutes of total happiness a day, and you had a targeted time, 10 minutes, and at that time, everyone stopped working and did something for 10 minutes that made them feel fantastic. Whatever it was it take a walk, listen to music, meditate, call your son, whatever it was that elicited a feeling of really happy joy, what would then happen to the rest of the day? It's just an experiment. I thought, what a fantastic social experiment to see how that would impact a large group of people, and then on a larger level, how that would impact the system and the whole productivity.
I'm going to try the following for 7 days following your lead. I'm going to go to my employees and say, everyone, you have 1 day to decide what our entire company does for 10 minutes. Okay. We'll do anything you tell us to do, but it's your turn on that day, and then we'll rotate whose day it is, and it could be, I'm going to have a dance-a-thon, I'm going to go for a walk, but we're all going to do it together, 10 minutes a day, aimed at something that's happy.
Right, and then will you let me know how it goes? Because I would love to hear.
When we hang up this fabulous interview, I'm going to march into the center of my office and make this happen.
I'm so glad. Wow, that's a happy result I didn't expect.
There you go. And on top of that, we're going to get you back in January to take a peek at the life tips. We don't have a name for it yet, but we think it's a, you know, it's a taskalizer, you know, or it's a, you know, it's a life betterment tool. You know, I'm not sure yet what this thing is going to be called, but we've been using it now for 3 years, believe it or not, internally with our company, and, you know, moving tasks around with one another and integrating in with our CRM and just trying to keep track of what we're doing, you know, for our own personal benefits. This is not a manager's tool that necessarily looks over people's shoulders, but it's a way to say, did I have a good week this week? You know, am I prioritizing the right things? And let's let a manager look at that once a week to make sure that I did the right things on the right time that were most important to helping advance the company. Right. And there should be a scale on that or something, another creative way to say, well, that was a good thing you did there. I understand why you did it, but just so you know, it wasn't helping as our company. Is this other thing you could have been doing? Right.
Right. Right.
So, you know, what's the scale there? Another interesting thing for listeners to think about, you know, is the purple cow, a book by Seth Godin, right? So, you know, what does your company do that's different? You know, what do you do as an individual that's different? What is your purple cow? You know, what is your thing? And these are critical elements. And so at one point, I had this concept for the task list that said, all right, is that a purple cow task you did? Like, is that have a cool factor to it?
Right.
It's sort of an interesting concept.
Very.
Tom Peters also had an interesting plug on this as well. he came out with a book. I don't think it was that popular, but it was a great concept. I got a preliminary version of the book. There was sort of a rough sketch of the book. It was called Brand Me. I think it's still out there, but you know, it said, hey, who are you? You know, why are you different? You know, are you tired of all those boring corporate meetings you go to? What's your mark in the world, right?
Right.
And find it and stay with it. And don't be afraid to, you know, branch out of the crowd and you know, and make a difference for yourself, number one, and your impact on the world.
Right.
But it was novel. You know, it was a new, cool way to do it. And I'm not sure how the book did, but I thought the listeners might be interested in that. But, you know, back to you, Lauren, how can people get a hold of you? How can they find your book?
Oh, great. Well, the best way is to look at the website. It's makeithappenin10minutesaday.com. And there's an email contact. I'd love to hear from people. And there's also every way. It exists in every e-format as well as in paperback.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm a fan of multi-edition paperback books, you know, and the Kindle and the Nook and the iBook are all available in your platform. I love it. How is that doing? I'm curious what percentage of people are buying the book on Kindle, you know, an ebook versus the paperback.
It's interesting. Right now, I'd say it's about 70-30 as ebook to paperback. Right. I will say that I initially was only going to write an ebook. I saw that revolution coming, and I thought, okay, I'm going to be a part of that. And then a woman from a small business development office pleaded with me to do a paperback. She said, please, just do it. So I did, and I'm thrilled because, you know, I'm certainly of the generation that still loves holding a book.
Yeah.
I hope that will be true for at least one more generation to come. And yet I also see the real value in ebooks. I would say more ebooks are selling right now. It's this whole revolution so interesting because a friend of mine downloaded it onto her phone, and I had never even seen that. And what she loved was that she then had the book in her back pocket. And because my particular book is written with basically a point a page, she could just pull out the book and read a single point and put it back in her pocket and then go about her day, which she found very mobilizing.
Interesting. And who did your publisher put together the Kindle Nook and iBook, you know, availability of the product? I know because you can buy it on Amazon, I see.
Right. Yeah, I did. I worked with a really terrific publisher in Minnesota, and they did all of that formatting because the formattings are separate, Kindle Nook and iPad, and then there's a general one for the other things, I think the Android, but the publisher did that. And I worked with really wonderful designers, and I have to say, we worked hard because I was warned early on, I wasn't that familiar with ebooks when I started this, and a friend of mine who had an e-reader said, do something to make it visually interesting, because the challenge of ebooks is it's just page after page of gray text, and when we look at a screen, we're not used to looking at something that uninteresting. So I worked really hard with brilliant designers to make it fresh and wonderful for the eye so that you stay engaged in and wrote it so that it can be read in 10-minute increments.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, Lauren, thanks so much for being on the show today. This was really a fun interview. Thanks for being on the show.
I'm delighted, and I look forward to more.
Indeed. We'll look forward to it as well. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life's a little smarter, better, and faster, and more motivated to make it happen in 10 minutes or less.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. Look forward to tuning in next week, everybody, with the show. Thanks very much.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.